What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not gonna be a podcast. It's gonna be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Welcome to How to Not Comedy, Nick Kappa. Thanks for coming on, man.
This is
pretty big for us.
This is
huge. Oh, no. It's huge for me as well. The first podcast in the Steel City.
Yeah,
this is huge, yeah. You know. Yeah, how many podcasts are in Newcastle, you reckon?
There's two and we're the shittest.
So. Oh, all right. Who's the other one?
Bradley Bishop. He does the Sunday service over at Stockton. He's our main competitor and an absolute dog.
Fuck that dude.
Yeah, I've heard he's a hack.
Yeah.
I've only been Newcastle for a couple of nights, and yeah, I've heard so much bad stuff about this Bradley Bishop guy. No, man, it's awesome. I don't know. Like, in the world of podcasts, I guess I do okay, but then also... When you look at other podcasts and the effort they put in, you're like, fuck, so minuscule, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, and you never know. Like, it's so weird because more people could listen to your podcast after I'm on it, or you could get less. Like, as we've said, sometimes we've had big guests on our ones.
Yeah. Right.
And, like, you've seen people go, but then you've seen a guest that's come on two or three times that doesn't have near the profile, and people are like, oh, hell yeah. Like Rohan Ganju's on again. Sick.
Yeah. He's a mad dude. I love Rohan.
No, he's the best. So, man. No, I don't know. What do you guys do on this podcast? Do you
just mostly talk shit?
Talk shit,
Pretty niche.
The problem is, it's so low effort that we don't even have like a structure. It's called How to Not Comedy. So the idea of the show was just like, hey, let's get together comedians and talk about stuff of like what you shouldn't do at a gig. Like what's the worst thing?
Oh, wow, that's pretty good. No, I like that premise.
It's good if we stay on the rails and get to that.
If you get me talking about conspiracy theories, it gets pretty fucking... off the rails pretty quickly.
Mitch will bring up aliens and then we're just off into the weeds.
This is where I lie and go, yeah man, I heard you talking about it on previous you know what I mean? Sometimes I've done that before. I'm like, I was listening to one in the car on the way here. They didn't have a car on the way here, so I'm like, all right, well, it looks like we're winging it today. I don't know, I guess when you're talking about stuff that's like what you shouldn't do in comedy, I feel what you shouldn't do is kind of what you should do sometimes.
Different
from everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard thing. Like, I feel as I get better, I feel what I've known now is, now that I know the structure, I can fuck with it more. I started out just fucking with it all the time.
Yeah.
And I learned the hard way.
Right.
I think that's like every comedian.
Man.
You've got to fail to succeed in comedy.
You're playing jazz before you learn like scales and stuff.
Exactly.
Like,
I was talking about this with Ivana Ristigetta this morning, you know, like, because trying to write, you know, films and stuff and all that, and you're like, you're like, you don't want to do the hero's journey or whatever, those things, those writing things.
Yeah, all
you're
those like, tropes.
I want to do something totally unique and different.
Yeah.
However, you're like, okay, maybe I got to write the hero's journey first, then I can fuck with the hero's journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start out doing like Mulholland Drive or like a weird
film like that.
It's
just
like all over the place, chops and changes and doesn't really have an end or like the ending's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've written lots of bits like that. Just like, where's this going? I don't know. This is an open mic.
Yeah.
Things are going off the rails real fast.
You guys probably talked about Newcastle comedy a fair bit, right? But I'm guessing, I don't want to, you know, repeat what the listeners have already heard, but what, so you guys...
There's no listeners.
No listeners.
You get like 50.
That's sick.
Yeah.
50's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, it still blows my mind that, you know... that you guys asked me to do a podcast and stuff. Like, I never thought this would have happened in my life.
Neither did we. Like, Trust us.
Like, you guys, you know, you never thought you'd get 50 people. Like, you got 50 listeners.
Yeah.
Like, I do Flat Stick,
with
Brett Blake. We do about mountain bikes and, you know, about cars and motorbikes. And then we just fuck around, talk shit sometimes, heavy metal or whatever. And, but then also started out in Phone Hacks, and Phone Hacks started out with a peak time.
Right.
When I was, you know, one of the guests on the Dum Dum Club, and they're like, when are you going to do your own podcast?
Yeah.
Now you guys are living in a time where it was like, we don't want another podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want this guy. We don't want a new podcast into the world. But we got in at a good time, and Mike's so good. He's so diligent at keeping just every Sunday it's up.
Yeah.
Every Monday it's up. It's got the description, everything, whereas I fuck up the image all the time and stuff. However, that gets 10 times the listeners of Flatstick, even more.
Yeah.
Like 10 times. However, the people with Flatstick are like... They're not going anywhere.
You know, like they're buying merch.
Yeah, they're doing everything. Yeah. So it's really unique, you know, really unique. Both things. I'm so lucky that I get to be on both sides of the scale.
Yeah.
So you guys could have 50 people that'll give you $100 when you ask for it.
Yeah.
No, they're all poor open micers.
It's all comedians that listen.
Oh, that's sick, man. Yeah. That's great. So the scene is, I guess, you have Newcastle Comedy Club, Friday and Saturdays.
Yeah.
And the lineups are never announced. Is it two shows on a Saturday or just one?
Just the one. The issue being that we have the lockout thing at 9:30, so we need a security guard past 9:30 to do later shows.
That's
the issue. That's why there's no late shows running at the moment.
Yeah.
And not because we couldn't afford having a security guard. It was just the security company that we were dealing with. Like, one of the times, one of them just didn't show up. And so we're like, oh, great. Now we've got, like, a packed show. All these people have paid money to come see comedy. And I think we had to cancel it. I'm going to say on the record, we cancelled that show. We didn't run it.
Even
though there was no security at the front, with a license. Pretty sure that's what happened. But yeah, crazy. So just untrustworthy.
You probably just had to have Elliot Stewart on security.
Yeah, exactly. Him out the front looking very daunting.
The most daunting man in the history of comedy. He is getting a little bit more daunting now. He's beefing up.
He's getting there.
He rolls too. Like, he does jiu-jitsu. He's pretty good.
He strangled me.
Oh, man, I would not want to get around
him. He choked me out.
Yeah.
To be fair, I had a cracked rib at the time. I didn't know. That's my alibi, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, that's good, man. It's good to create an alibi. Like
he had a cracked rib when I rolled on him.
Yeah, I was rolling with Mitch. And as you can see from for the listener, there's quite a disparity, especially back then.
You
dropped a lot of kegs, man.
Yeah, I was pushing like $125.
Whoa.
I was fucking like real fat. Yeah. And like, I was like, shit, I've got to... I got real high one night and just like had a panic attack in the kitchen because I was like, I'm such a fat fuck.
Really, man?
And just like the next day, signed up for jiu-jitsu, started going like every night for, it was like 6 weeks.
Yeah,
and
man.
And then, I had to quit my job, couldn't afford it anymore.
Because it falls off you.
Especially there, dude.
Like, it really falls off you. Yeah. You're just sweating all the time.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And I was like, why is Joe Rogan still got that little gut? And then they told me it's because of the roids.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to do jiu-jitsu. I've still got the gut.
The growth hormone.
And they're like, no, man, that's the roids.
You'll
be fine. If you just don't do roids and do jiu-jitsu, you're good.
Yeah,
I did it for a bit, and it was awesome, man. It was fantastic. It was like... the coolest bunch of guys ever because they can all kill you.
Yeah.
And watching a guy, like, one time me and a guy started off together and I could see he was a full psycho.
Yeah.
Like, he was really fucking going hard on me.
Yeah, which
like,
is...
tap, and it was, like, it was very threatening and fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And then we went in a circle where you had to roll with everybody.
Yeah.
And by the time I got back to that guy... he was a lot more mellow.
Yeah.
He was like, he rolled against, you know, probably guys he wouldn't think he'd, you know, there was like, it's just awesome seeing a chubby guy just relax. You're on top of him, you're like, and they're like, yeah, I've got this covered.
Yeah.
Mate, don't worry about it. You're like, and they're like, no, man, I got the technique. It's like the Matrix, so they're seeing it in slow motion, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it was sick. It was really good. I should do it again, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so what, you guys do Fridays and Saturdays, and then what open mics do you have?
The Tuesday.
Which is the best one. Like, it's insane. It gets packed. Like, last Tuesday was 70 people in here for an open mic. It was wild.
That is so sick. Like, I think sometimes you have a town like Newcastle, which is an anomaly. Like, of course, man. Like, I was asleep in my... hotel room last night around 10 or 11 o'clock. I thought the apocalypse was going outside.
Oh, yeah.
There's a shopping trolley on a pole. Yeah. Another shopping trolley on a fence. Yeah. And there was like spew like landmines across the thing. Like, it's, I've never seen anything like it. Like, I really thought there was like. And the same token, you're kind of rewarded if you open something like this because they're just people who are like, I just want to give this a go.
Yeah.
I want to give this fucking guy a go.
Yeah.
Whereas the city. Because it's that stuff surrounding you all the time, I think sometimes the crowds are a little more critical.
Yeah.
Which does make you better.
Yeah.
In a way, but also it's fucking hard. It's hard to try out a new opener. It's hard, you know.
Yeah.
To have a crew full of people be like, yeah, let's give him a go. Yeah. You know, it's fucking.
Yeah, they're very forgiving here, especially of like stuff that would get you cancelled very quickly. In the city. Like, you'll get away with it in Newcastle to a degree. Not so much on the Tuesday. The open mic's a younger crowd. So it's like uni students and stuff like that because it's a free show.
Yeah.
So they're a lot more switched on and will, like, call you out if you're, like, saying some fucked up edgy shit. But, like, the Friday, Saturday shows, like, you can really fucking rip and tear and people are down for it.
Man, that's awesome.
Which is cool because it gives you that that perspective of, like, if you go to, like, just city gigs, city, like, Sydney, Melbourne, Inner West, around there, and then you go and do, like, a country gig, like Cessnock or, like, somewhere further out west, like, those people are super down to see shows and come out and support as well.
Yeah.
And you can get away with a lot more. And they actually want that. They're like, I don't want to hear about that you're non-binary or whatever the fuck is the hot topic that people are talking about. They're like, ah, doesn't interest me, actually.
Mm.
Just tell me about the time that you had to finger your dog. Just something fun. They're just like, we're down for that.
Yeah. They do like the rude stuff a bit more, because I guess, you know, you are like, I guess when you're out in the country and stuff, you're like, I don't want to tell people about my crazy mind. So I'll just keep it.
Yeah.
And then when they stand up, they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it out for me. Get it out. Yeah. Say the crook shit. Then we can look at each other and go, yeah, we're all thinking it.
Yeah.
But, I know. Yeah, I feel, I agree and I disagree. I feel like that they should know about, you know, stuff like that, like non-binary stuff and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's also awesome that you got a balance, you know, like that you do have the crowd that pull you up on it. Because I don't, as I get older, I don't think there's anything wrong with the left wing. Or I don't think there's anything wrong with the right wing. It's just the extremists of both of those
parties. Right. Yeah,
fuck it up for everybody.
But then you're called like a centrist or whatever, and then it just gets into a whole can of worms. You're just like, I'm just trying to make people laugh. It's really what I'm about.
I love it when both sides argue with each other. So they're like, hey, let's do this you see it on Facebook posts and stuff. Like, let's do this fucking right wing fucking march or whatever, something like that. And they're like, no, I don't want to be with you, bro. You do the right wing the wrong way. You're all about this, really. We've got to tone things down, make it safe for people. They're like, fuck you fucking pussy. Same thing with the left wing. The left wing's like, because I do bouldering, the fucking most left wing sport ever.
Yeah.
If there's non-binary fucking swingers in any sport, it's bouldering.
Is that how you figure out who's who? Is like the colour of the rocks that they climb? Yeah, you're like, he's on the pink ones. He does.
It's
this
so funny, life. And I love it because you go there. There's no douchebags. It's pretty safe, but on the, I was looking up some training techniques, and even then, there's people like, you do the 4x4 climbs in a row, do this, and like, what if you complete them within the 6 minutes? And then someone commented like, There was no talking about time in this. You know, like, if you finish it in the 6 minutes, that's 6 minutes done. You obviously don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
This is meant to be a safe community where you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. So it gets, like, somewhat competitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit weird. Because nice exercise. It's like you just go at your own pace. Like, everyone's different. Everyone's built different. People are heavier, lighter. Like, I go well at bouldering because I'm built like a stick. I'm like 60 kilos. I've got strong grip strength. Like, racing go-karts since I was very young. And then, like, same as you and Brett, like motorbikes and mountain bikes and stuff like that. So you got that grip strength.
Yeah.
And like 60 kilos is nothing.
You got the perfect frame for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not like skinny to where you'd lose strength.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. The only terrible thing I did was I went too hard on the bouldering one time, and I was like working in caravan repairs, and it was like a lot of squeezing with like a silicon gun, and I was like, oh, my hands are fucked. Like, I can't work today.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I need to chill out a bit. But I did get to the point where I got the weird shoes, like the tiny.
Oh, yeah.
I was like that into it.
Yeah, they're great, man.
They help a lot.
Yeah, I want to go in Newcastle somewhere. I ran in Gosford. It wasn't bad.
There's a Pulse one at Warners Bay. It's pretty good.
Yeah, sick, man. Yeah, yeah.
That's the one I used to go to.
Yeah. Is it Adamstown, isn't it?
The one at Adamstown, I don't know if it's still there, but it was the one where you belay. Is it belaying? Yeah. No, the person where you like pull the rope through or whatever while they climb up.
Yeah.
So you go high. It's just rock climbing, like a straight wall.
Man, the renegades, like they're either the fucking coolest people, like the most bravest people in the world that know what they're doing, or like to open a bouldering gym in Newcastle, like the first bouldering gym.
Yeah.
How crazy do you have to be? You have to be fucking nuts. Because it's either going to go off, which I think it has because they've got a couple of locations.
Yeah.
And they've, unlike me, they've probably done their market research for these things. Or they're like, potentially, fuck, let's just dive in.
Yeah, see what happens.
See what happens, because it could go horribly wrong.
Yeah, yeah, we could just get sued and shut down in the first year.
Or there could just be something, like, because in places like this, rumors spread real bad. Yeah. They're like, oh, man, I heard a guy broke his arm in the first week.
Yeah.
Luckily, I heard the dude behind the counter is a pedophile. Yeah, what the fuck?
Luckily, we haven't had that here. No one's found out yet. But
we've been working the bar, Nick.
Are you still... Were you at Raymond Terrace at one point, man? Or no, you're from Raymond Terrace.
No, I'm from...
I got that wrong?
No. Whitebridge. Charlestown, Whitebridge. That area. Yeah.
So is that... How far out is that?
Raymond Terrace.
No, Charlestown.
Charlestown. Oh, like a 20-minute drive from here.
20-minute drive. Yeah, right. And what, you still go back there after a gig or whatever, or you live in the town?
I'm living over at New Lambton with a other open mic comedian. I'll call him that, Adam Ronan. Yeah. Because he'll love that. Fuck him. Yeah. So, yeah, we live over there with my partner. Just been there for like 6 months, roughly now.
Because like the lifestyle here would be amazing. If you've got a few gigs, like, I come here, I'm, like, always tempted to fucking move here or something, you know?
I've heard a lot of that from people. They're like, it's sick. The other podcast, the Shitter podcast, they are better. We're the Shitters, but we hold that title. They keep going for it, but we've got it.
Yeah.
But Bradley and Taylor moved up from Canberra because they were doing the Canberra comedy scene.
Yeah.
And there's just not heaps going on there. And they're like, and Bradley's like, you need to move up here, dude. Like, it's so sick. Yeah. I live, like, 10 minutes from the beach. There's no traffic. It's sick. There's, like, red-hot crowds. At the time, there was a lot more open mics.
Yeah.
We've sort of fallen off a bit with those. So there's, like, the Stag is, like, the only one that's running at the moment. So we're looking at starting some more up. That'd be good.
Yeah, man, yeah. It's probably quite hard to get people out without a big name.
Yeah.
But then it's also kind of easier as well, because if you have a cool local thing, you're like, oh, yeah, we go down every Tuesday night, see someone fuck their life up.
There was a lot of that, especially towards the end of some of them where you're like, you know, the mic is on like life support. You're just like, this is going to be fucking dire.
Yeah.
But we're all going anyway, like some RSL gigs.
Yeah.
That are just like a huge room, like a giant room with all these chairs, and there's like five people in there and 10 comics. And you're just like, holy fuck, here we go.
I find that the satellite towns do pretty well, hey, like, if you go to Cessnock or somewhere, I did a gig in Swan Hill years ago, and fuck, a lot of people came out. It was wild. And I'm not a name or anything, you know, but it was a few people come from the podcast and stuff. But it was just like, we rang the RSL. My mate rang the RSL, and they're like, we'll give you $2,000 and a place to stay. And we're like, that is insane.
Yeah.
So we're able to pay an MC, a support act.
Yep.
And then I still got, I don't know, $1,000 or something like that.
Sorry, keep going.
And you're like, that's more money than, like, you know, my friends were doing trial shows and stuff in Melbourne for free.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid and wearing my, running my new hour in, you know. Yeah. It was great, you know.
So, and they just sold the tickets, like they marketed the show under their thing. And that's the best way to do it, man.
It was killer. You know, like, of course, you fucking got to take your own gear with you. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You rock up to some of those places and you're like...
Yeah,
the lighting is terrible, or the they'll tell you they got it all, And sometimes they've got more than enough. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What the hell things are you putting on out here?
Yep.
This is amazing.
Yeah, they're just running bingo.
Yeah. They've got this like cool Art Deco theater. And it's wild. They got like a projector and awesome lights and a mic and a tech, like a full-on tech, which is more than most rooms in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then, most of the time you go there, though, and it's just bright lights.
In-house PA.
Yeah, just full conference room stuff.
Yeah, with like a battery-powered microphone that you know is going to drop out at some point in the show.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, Dave O'Neill and Billy Styles, they've got a pretty good thing worked out. They've got like a pretty sick amp they can take around and mics and a little light. Dave O'Neill once, I think a light went out at a big show once, and Dave O'Neill was like, I can just go get one from my car.
Oh, nice.
He just got one out of his car.
Yeah.
That guy's like the James Bond of comedy.
He's got all the shit. Got all the gear.
He carries a gun.
Just in case the gig goes real bad. It's time.
He sleeps with women and leaves them.
mostly Ben. I won't say me and Ben McLennan is like local act. He's from Curry.
Yeah.
He's fucking killing it. He's looking for gigs and stuff like that and doing the same thing. Like, we're looking to set up gigs around, like, the satellite towns around Newcastle, maybe some in the city on weeknights and stuff like that. Same deal, like, charge the venue whatever amount, and then they do the marketing and all that sort of stuff, and then we've got some more booked gigs.
Yeah.
Which would be good, because we're at that level now where we're like, we know we're not going to bomb. Like, we know we can... At least, you know, like, hey, if the jokes didn't go well, we know these jokes should have went well.
Yeah.
Something else was amiss that we might have missed. Maybe we should have read the crowd better or something like that. We'll learn that sort of stuff. But it's like having this club here has given us all the opportunity to be able to do some more time in front of, like, good crowds and be like, all right, we know what's working now. Like, we can each do 10, do, like, a split bill sort of thing where you just go home with a bit of money.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome.
And there is money. Like, you see, like, guys in the city, you're doing shows for free.
Yeah.
Like, I was literally going to, if I hadn't have done last night, I was literally driving down to La Mia for a free show.
Yeah.
Just to be like, and I'm like, there's money. Like, there is money. Like, venues, especially if they've got, like, pokies, the government gives them tax breaks on their pokies.
Yeah.
So they can throw around, like, fucking a couple of grand and it literally costs them nothing.
All you have to do is, like, you guys probably know this already, you know, I find if you're going to a country town, you got to go to a pub where you have a loudmouth publican.
Yeah.
That knows everybody or know someone in the town, a lady that works at local... There's always like a town loudmouth that gets people together.
Yeah.
And that's essential.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of pubs where I like ring and the guy's like fully stoked to do it. Yep, let's do it. Fuck yeah. And and you get the posters in there early and they'll tell everybody who walks in.
Almost what's going like on? Yeah, they're all...
force them into it. Like, what are you doing in a month? Yeah, come along, mate.
Yeah,
it's going wild. We got this guy. Oh, no, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Jimbo, like, that does the Gary the Goat thing?
Man, that guy's crazy.
He's the fucking best.
Is he still doing it?
No. Well, he had...
What happened to him?
This is how weird I get about, like, comedy in Australia. Like, get deep into shit. So he had Kevin the Cunt, which was, like, the second goat, because Gary died.
Yeah.
And I think Gary got stuffed, and I think he's, like, at the Mic in Hand in Glebe, like, that pub.
Really?
He was there for a bit. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
He had him taxidermied and put there. So then he got Kevin, and then that goat died as well. And then he had, like, a Japanese wife and, like, two kids who he was, like, homeschooling but also, like, travelling with them in the van to go and do gigs and stuff. And then COVID came along, kind of shut that down, and he was like, look, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I've got my two kids.
Yeah.
His wife's like left and gone back to Japan or something. And he's just like, I just need to chill for a bit. So it's been pretty quiet on the front of that. But like you were saying about, like, he would just go to country towns in his Vadina, he'd call it.
Yeah.
Like this old diner diesel thing that he converted to run on vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Like, did that trick. He'd go country town to country town, go to the fish and chip shop, like, get their old oil, fill it up, and that'd give him enough to get to the next town. And then he'd do the same thing, just, like, hit people up, go talk shit at the pubs, find the loudmouth. He was also a loudmouth, so he'd be down at the shops, just local shopping centre. He's like, yeah, there's a gig on tonight, and he's got his goat, so he's doing promo for the show, and everyone's like, what the fuck? There's this weird dude with a goat in town. He's doing some gig down at the pub. Let's all go check it out.
Yeah.
And yeah, he did really fucking well.
Oh, man.
But he was a nutcase.
Yeah, yeah, I saw his show years ago when I was, like, first getting into it. He did a show in Sydney, and a lot of people came and watched.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, wow. And he said he was, at one point, he was living off sprouts in his bag.
Yeah, he had a briefcase full of sprouts or something.
Wow, man. That's so wild.
Did he do the thing when at the show that you watched where at some point, like, the goat's got to take a piss?
Yeah.
Like, the goat always shits in the venues, but at some point, the goat's going to piss in the venue. So he gets a schooner off the table, puts it under the goat. And, like, the goat pisses in the schooner, and then he just fucking necks it. It's like, what the fuck?
Man.
This is wild.
Crazy guy, man.
Yeah.
Back, and it might have been a bit ahead of his time in a weird way. I remember his jokes being quite awful. They were, like, basically fucking fax machine jokes, you know.
Yeah.
But he might have had a couple of good ones. But I remember the most entertaining thing about the show was, because he got banned from the Comedy Store years ago for something.
Yeah.
I think the main reason he got banned from a lot of rooms because he did a show in Castle Hill where the owner of the pub would pay him the money to MC, like $200 or whatever.
Yeah.
So what he'd do is he'd keep $100 for himself and he's like, say to the crowd, okay, $100 and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whatever you want for $100. And one time there was a Hungry Jack staff party and a girl gave the boss a head job on stage.
Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
<You're> not... For $100.
What a bargain.
And they were like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And
you can't have that.
There was like newspaper articles and stuff. But And then he had another video that he had that one blurred out, thank God. But he had another video of like stuff that just happened to him in the country. Like one time after a gig, they made like an explosion, and it was like the biggest explosion you've ever seen. That was like a bomb.
That's pretty cool. I'm down for explosions.
Yeah, it just blew up. It was this fucking, basically a mushroom cloud.
Yeah,
it was holy insane.
Shit. Yeah, just made a diesel bomb.
Yeah. So yeah, man. Yeah, no, that's it. And then the other thing, one thing that I found out that was hard touring in the country is you got to make sure that nothing else is on.
Yeah.
At the moment, if there's a...
if the rodeo's on the brick throwing competition or whatever the fuck it is.
No, one time I had a friend, Carlo Ritchie, really funny improviser guy, and we went to Glen Innes and we sold out this Glen Innes theatre. You know, it was fucking years ago, but they were like, oh, two comedians, and they knew Carlo. He was a really funny performer. Sold it out, had the best night ever, made heaps of money. They made us do like a tutoring thing, you know.
Yeah,
God, I would never want to teach anyone comedy, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like even this stuff I'm saying right now, I say to everybody who, you know, the small number of people ask me for advice, I'm like, there's no good and bad advice. It's just what's personal to you.
Yeah.
You know, like Rick Rubin says in his book, which I would recommend you guys to read.
Yeah.
A Creative Way of Being. He's like, when you're comparing people's creative projects, it's like comparing diaries.
Yeah.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
You can't, you know. I mean, obviously there's fucking terrible people out there. But a big thing we did is we did these shows in Glen Innes, and then we thought, we'll come back and we'll do it next year. But it was during like the Christmas period.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man, everyone in the country, they're fucking busy every weekend with the Christmas thing.
Yeah.
So, we had, like, went from, like, the dream. We took a support act with us as well. We had to pay her, and we made no money.
Out of pocket.
Yeah, had to pay her out of our own pocket. Yeah, it was fucked.
That's how it goes. Yeah. We made that mistake. We've already done that
a couple of times.
Yeah, it
happens. Did Dubbo Fringe.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, like,
hang on, you lost money at a Fringe festival?
Yeah, it's
fucking crazy.
I know, crazy.
Oh, my God.
I've told this story 100 times, so I'll tell the short version. But, got there. There was a funeral. at the pub where we were performing. So
and we got given the venue. We're like walking around the venue trying to drum up business. Like, hey, you guys want to watch a comedy show? They're like, no, I've just been to a funeral.
And then the judges of the Fringe Festival were there for that night because the big award ceremony is the next night. So there was a guy there with a slideshow of his trip around Australia. It was a comedy show. And it was just the fucking bleakest thing you've ever seen. Just like classic. It just looked like an RSL, this pub. Big fucking hall. Like guy on stage with a fucking remote and a slideshow and a cowboy hat. And just like, yeah, and this is when I went to the Northern Territory. And you're like, holy fuck, dude. Like, what is going on here? And then the sound fucked out. And like, they couldn't even play music for the people waiting for the show. We started 20 minutes late and everyone fucking ate shit. And then the judge walked up to me at the end talking about Ben, because Ben had some pretty like... pretty risky material. It was funny, but like pretty anti-women. And she's like, you might want to tell the comedians not to be so hard on women. I was just like, yeah, I'll do that. I was like, we've all got like 7 minutes between us. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to get him to throw out half his act, lady.
Oh, that's funny as hell, man.
And that dude won Best Comedy that year.
With the slideshow, crushed us, and he deserved it because
he did.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love that, but it kind of is how you get better, unfortunately, isn't
it?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about it. I was like, because I saw how good this club is and the community you guys have started, and I was thinking, like, can you just foster like good, you know, good?
Yeah, you
and
can
just head straight to a place.
Yeah,
like after you've garnered your own, you know, following. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and you can, you know.
Yeah.
And but I was thinking, also, you do learn a lot when you get your fucking ass handed to you in a new city.
Oh
man, you know what I mean? But I didn't go about it wisely. Now people are going about it so wisely. Like you look at like Billy Darcy, you know.
Oh,
he's got his own crowd. He just goes to a city. Outside of the festival, fucking sells it out, makes more money than I do in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then goes home. He just does one night. And I was thinking, maybe that's what I should do. Like, next year at Perth Fringe or whatever, don't be there for fucking 2 weeks or even... try not to even make it a week. Just go there for, like, 4 days. Fuck off.
Because you still live down in Melbourne, don't you?
Yeah,
Melbourne Festival makes sense.
Yeah,
you're not spending heaps of overheads on accommodation and stuff like that, I assume. Yeah. But that was great. I went and saw, because I was just happened to plan a trip down there. It was like to the end of the festival. And I got into Melbourne because we were down on the peninsula. And got in there and I like had a half an hour or something to kill. And I was like, oh, what's on? And I was like, saw that Brew Dudes show was going on. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'll go and check that out.
Yeah.
I got half an hour. So I like walked across the city, went there. And they're like, oh, it's sold out. And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm happy to pay. I don't want to be that guy, but like, I'm a comic from Newey and I'll just stand up the back. Like, I won't make a fuss. I just want to watch the show. I just got half an hour to kill. And they're like, look, someone didn't bring a friend, so there's space. Like, go up there and just chill.
Yeah.
I was like, sick. So I go up there. And then you guys are doing the show. You got like all the drinks and stuff happening. And there was like a couple of chairs in the back where people hadn't sat there. And then, I don't know, two people around me were like, all right, let's make a team. And then all of a sudden I'm just chugging fucking beers. And they're not weak beers. They're like proper craft beers. And I'm like, I had like three of them in an hour. And then I was just shit-faced. Came out of there just being like, oh, this is sick. Like, this is the best. I love Melbourne. I love the comedy festival. This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, I'd recommend it. Like if you... I think a bunch of Darwin comics or something did it. I did their show in Adelaide Fringe, and it's like you just got to be a bit wise about it. You know, I went to Melbourne from Sydney and I lost heaps of money. You don't have a crowd there. You see people do it all the time, you know, and some people get away with it. Some people are good hustlers, like Andrew Hamilton or something like that. That guy's really fucking good hustler.
Dude, he's killing it, man.
And a great comic
as
well.
Yeah.
I watched his show and it was excellent. And he's got that. I don't know. That guy is unstoppable at anything he does.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Exactly.
You go, I'm going windsailing tomorrow, and then you know, garner crowds at windsailing. Even, you know, like it's just that. But also, I think it was like I just didn't do things wisely. You just go to Adelaide for too long, for like 2 weeks or something. You go, I should have just went there for like 2 or 3 nights.
Yeah, man.
But now I think of it a different way. I'm like, I don't want to lose time on any festival, but some like Adelaide Fringe, I'm like, I'm always going to come here for a week because it's just the perfect thing to fucking bring you back down to square one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before Melbourne.
And it's like a mini holiday too. Like, it's, you're hanging around all the comics and stuff like that. It's sick. Yeah, it's a good hang.
Yeah, man. I like that. You're in outdoor venues and you're boxing with lead gloves on.
Yeah.
Like, it was hard. Like, this show was very personal. I had a lot of bad shows in Adelaide because I was like, just hard for me to connect with people when there's a Ferris wheel going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside rooms are always death.
You know, it was like, it was a hard show to do. But then once I got to Melbourne, enclosed room, Cooper's Inn, like one of the best rooms in Melbourne, it's walking on a cloud.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, this is sick, you know? So, yeah. However, Perth Fringe, I can take him to leave it.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need that much practice. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Hammo, though, I can't believe that, that dude was, like you said, fucking determined at everything. Do you know how hard it is to actually grow mushrooms, which is what he was doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking difficult to grow mushrooms.
Man, I had 2 different people come up to me, like friends, and they were like, oh, man. That's Andrew Hamilton. I used to buy my mushrooms off that guy.
Yeah.
He had the best mushrooms in Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If comedy doesn't work out, I think they're going to hire him to, like, we need someone that knows how, when they become medicinal, obviously some people out there that have got figured out, but he could easily switch gears and just be like, all right, I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
Like,
just go get a job at a pharmacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the same thing with his show that I appreciated, and the same as your show that I watched when, and thanks for putting me on the door, by the way, fucking legend. But you were writing towards, like, a topic. And Andrew's doing the same, where it's like, I've got this thing, like, his is all about being in jail. And it's just like, when you're writing towards something like that, I think just everyone's on board. They're like, we're invested in this, how it goes. And it's like an hour that you're like, if I'm not even just laughing the whole time, I'm fucking entertained because I want to see where it's going.
Yeah.
It's like a heaps better way to do an hour, I think, at those sort of shows. And probably easier to sell because people are like, I know what I'm in for. I know what this is going to be about. I'm down for it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yes and no. I'd almost vouch against it in some ways because if you're just doing an hour of jokes, you like, you don't suffer the problems at the start that you do with the theme.
Yeah.
Like, well, your theme in particular is pretty rough to like cancer, get people
so
on board with.
So you really like, usually what I do is I just cobble together like a heap of 1-minute bits or something like that, where I can just cobble it all together, throw it out. I can go to Perth or whatever, not really have any terrible shows.
Yeah.
Like, have decent shows, because even if people that aren't into it, they're just like, they're getting barraged with stuff, like bang, bang, different ideas. And they know the ending's going to be decent. You know, there's a big pop at the ending, so have the best joke at the end. Boom!
Yeah.
You're out of there, and it just gets better and better and better.
Yep.
So you go to Melbourne. But in this one, I was like, man, there's some shows where just everyone would lose interest in the second half.
Really?
And it was just like, fuck. Because the first half was all about my balls and your ball taken out.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
You know? And then also that all that material was 1.5 years old.
Yeah.
Like, that was meant to be the first show.
Yeah,
but so, lockdown.
No. I got cancer the second time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I got
fuck,
it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I had to write about the second time I got it, which isn't about balls. It's about chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Not funny at all.
Not funny.
No.
Not funny at all. And I was like, well, I can do this, somehow switch it around and save the best bit till last.
Yeah.
And I was going to do that. That was in my mind the whole time, and I won't do it chronologically. I'll do it so I start off in chemo.
Yeah.
And I do that or whatever. And then I thought, I watched a few comedy specials, and I watched a couple of friends do specials, and I was like, there's no risk here.
Yeah.
Like, you come up, you know, if you know it's going to finish well, it almost takes the intensity out of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, okay. No, you got to finish it.
Yeah.
You got to finish it with the chemo.
Yeah.
That's the challenge.
Yeah, okay.
So I burned so many crowds. There was people in Perth and stuff, and in Bendigo one time, like, people were like laughing at the start, they're howling.
Yeah.
And just slowly they lose interest. Yeah. And a bit of that was to do with I would get a bit lost after the hot stuff. I'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
And I kind of get lost with it. But it was also like, it would just lose interest. And slowly I just worked on it really hard. And I was like, fuck this. Why do I have to write to a fucking theme? This sucks.
Yeah.
This sucks. Like, I really felt terrible about comedy in Perth and Adelaide. I was like, this is terrible. But I kept working on it. Then slowly, when I did it at Melbourne, like the second night, I was like, oh man, how did I do this without a theme?
Yeah.
Like, I want to do a theme next year.
Yeah.
Like, this is incredible. I feel so good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it came from, though, and look, I was talking about this with Ivana Ristigetta last night. It's like having a kid. Like, Jack Drews and I perform to each other our shows. He'll sit on the couch and I'll do the full hour to him in a weights vest.
Yeah.
And then we call it the vest of truth.
Yeah.
And he'll put the weights vest on. And then he does the hour to me.
Yeah.
Right.
And this year we didn't have the weights vest. We would just do the hour to each other. And look, if you want your show to be better, do it.
Yeah.
However, I would rather the show be bad than do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's having a kid.
It's so fucking...
Oh, man, it's so brutal.
Yeah.
Oh. It's fucking awful.
Yeah.
But we did it two or three times a week.
Yeah.
And you see the improvement. Especially the day before you do the hour.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I wouldn't recommend doing it really close to time. But, yeah, maybe doing it in the morning before you do it at night and then the day before. But don't do it too much, I'd say, because you still want to kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
But you do find yourself getting better and better every time. And that really helped. Yeah.
That's such an insane way to practice. I would have never thought of that, wearing a weight vest.
Insane. Like, and people hate us. People like Sam Taunton and Brett and stuff come and go, that is the most awful thing ever. Like, you are crazy.
Yeah.
And I find that you've got to do something crazy.
How heavy are the weights, like, in the vest? What are you wearing?
It's like 5 kilos or something, 5 to 10 kilos. It's just enough to be really
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's uncomfortable, man.
Yeah.
And Jack's just staring at you.
Yeah.
He's laughing sometimes, but he's got the notepad.
Yeah.
And it's awful, man.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Like,
yeah.
You stutter, you lose your train of thought. Mm. It sucks, man. It's awful. But makes the show 10 times better.
Yeah.
Not anywhere near as painful, but, like, just to get material in your head, I'll, like, rehearse on the way to the gig. In my car by myself, like a fucking psycho.
You see,
like, you were at lights and I'm fucking acting out the bits and shit like that, and there's some cunts next to me like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
man.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you can get away with it kind of nowadays because we got hands-free. So he's like, oh, maybe he's just on the phone or whatever. But, like, that feeling of... Because with a lot of guys, sort of that starting out to getting their book gigs, it's like just remembering your material and getting through the nerves, especially when you're starting out doing your book gigs. I found just that, like, just getting the set in your head saying it out loud, and it gives you that opportunity to kind of riff things out to yourself, and you go, oh, man, that was dumb. I won't say that tonight. Or you go, oh, that was fucking great. I'll say that tonight. And then you say it and you bomb. You're like, oh, fuck.
The worst thing you can do, I think it's the worst thing I've done, is when you turn up to it could be an open mic or a book gig or whatever, and you've got something in mind of what you want to do, and it might be a bit of a risk, and then you change lanes at the last second, and you're like, nah, I'm just going to pander... give them what they want, and then you die on your ass.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can work, but those times when I die, I'm just like, fuck, I should have just done what I wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I would rather die doing what I wanted to do than do mediocre, like, and it went all right, it was fine, and it's a book gig and I'm getting paid and whatever, but I didn't go for what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
They're the worst ones.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, man, exactly. No, that's exactly for me. When I just go mediocre, I'm not memorable, whatever. Like, I learn a lot from a lot of acts around me that take a lot of risks. And you see them commit, and they'll bomb, And maybe you do better than them, but the audience will remember them.
Yeah.
They'll have, like, five people that are like, we're your fan for life.
Yeah.
Like, one time I bombed hard at a music festival, but I didn't care. I rode it into the ground.
Yeah.
I was at this music like, festival, I was like, fuck it. And I, my girlfriend at the time, we were camping there.
Yeah.
And I said, if I bomb, I'm wearing this big white cricket hat that my dad gave me for his company that went bad.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm wearing the hat, right?
Yeah.
And then I bombed and I wore the fucking hat.
Yeah.
And people still recognize me in the fucking hat.
Oh, yeah.
But Melbourne Comedy Festival, I recommend 20 to 30 people came from that music festival.
Really?
Because they were like, man, that was the funniest thing we've ever seen. Watching you turn on the crowd, just ride it into the ground. Great. And I was like, it was totally unexpected. But yeah.
Well, that was like the last when you were here.
Yeah.
Was that last time you were here? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, that gig was done.
I think I've got to do it tonight again.
Are you?
I think, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know, man. It's fucking awful. Yeah.
See, I want to be there for that. Yeah, like, I want to see this.
Yeah. I think this one, maybe I'm talking in between the songs. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. But
fuck. I'm so scared. I don't really want to. I'm 40 years old. I can't stay open, stay awake till 2:40 p.m. AM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's idiotic, but hey, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it's experience and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can only get better.
Exactly.
That's right. It's not going to make you worse.
It's really hard to, going back to writing my show, I felt that you have to be afraid to do better.
Mm. Yeah.
So when the second half of the show started going good, I'm like, okay, there's this real risky bit I'm going to do at the end.
Yeah.
Like, you know, deals with a pretty tough topic. But it was a true story that happened to me. I'm going to do it. And every time I'm coming up to the end, I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But now it gets the biggest pop.
Yeah.
Because people always see that. And then I was worried because I started not getting afraid.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
You need the danger.
You need
to
danger,
care.
I reckon. Yeah. It's like Jack White says that he's got this thing where what he does is he'll play the guitar and he'll leave the piano far as away stage as possible. So he's got to run to the piano, and he gets there just in time.
Yeah.
He says without that...
He's too relaxed.
Yeah.
I see it like it a lot at gigs. You'll see like sort of open micers or whatever who've got like a good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's just, like, all of a sudden you go from bombing every single week to, like, doing okay or even killing.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're like, yep, I've got my 5 minutes. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's,
they'll
like...
hang on to that safety net
fucking,
forever.
Yeah. That's their fucking parachute, and they're never letting go. And you're like, yeah, all right. But one of the craziest things I've found as I've started to build up more of an act, and I haven't got a whole lot of a material or anything like that, but it's like every new bit's getting better.
Yeah, man.
And I'm getting better at writing jokes. So it's like I'm watching these people and they're sitting on like the same 5 minutes for like 1 or 2 years. And you're like, you have thrown away so many opportunities to improve your act that like if you were just writing and taking those fucking bullets and bombing at those gigs and writing more material, you would be 10 times the comedian you are.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, that's really interesting. Yeah. I find that I straddle now between the two. Like usually after this festival run, I would just go straight into new material.
Mm.
But now I'm like, to give the good material a chance, I mean, the new material a chance, start with the old bit.
Yeah.
And then, because I just used to not do that. I'm like, it's got to all stand on its own.
Yeah.
And then you're just fucking tearing your hair out and you're wasting.
You're like, why isn't it working?
Yeah.
So if you get them with that first laugh, then the crowd's like trusting. Exactly. They're like, all right, this guy's funny.
Yeah. And you guys are in a real dilemma. Like, although you have a fucking paradise here, it's also a bit of a hell in a way that you can't go to five other open mic rooms and just try out new stuff or whatever. And you don't want to bomb at such a good club, like the only club. And, you know, like, I haven't seen you guys, but, you know, like, I was talking to Brooke Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, last time she just had a solid act, destroyed both times. And she's like, I'm in trouble. Like, Yeah. I wrote all this new stuff and then I fucking...
Yeah.
Then you get on and the crowd's hot. And
yeah.
And it's new yep. people. You're like, oh, I'll just do it all, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm like when I go to European, like basement comedy or whatever, because Carl's like, you got to be good every... And I will... I take a lot more risk than, I guess, most of his acts.
Mm.
But then also, I'm still... Like next week, he's got me there booked, and I'm gonna do alt. Like there's no way, I fucking have to, and it sucks. Like I'm like, when do I turn the page? I know it'll happen, but God, you know when will it happen?
And you get those situations where you can get really fucking sick of your material, and like all you want to do like is just new jokes. It's like and it can be bad. It can be really dangerous as well because if you're doing new material, you stop caring about or old material, you stop caring about it.
Yeah.
And you put less into the show.
Yeah.
So again, it's like you've just it's so much fun fucking having a new bit. Like
I've got, it's so great.
Yeah, I've got three new bits I'm writing at the moment now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so fucking excited because it's like there's danger in it. I've got a joke about mass shooting, which is fucking...
Great.
I wrote it the
One
day...
One of my favourite subjects.
Yeah, no, I wrote it the day of that fucking mass shooting recently where
But he didn't know.
But I didn't know about it. So I got up there and I'm making these school shooter jokes and the whole crowd's like, what the fuck? And I was like, man, that was a really weird crowd. And Ethan's like, you see the news, dude? And I was like, no. He's like, there's like a bunch of preschoolers murdered today. I was like, oh, fuck. Well, that explains it, yeah.
Yeah, that happened to me once, yeah. I was doing a joke about, you know, running over kids at a school. Yeah. And my partner's like, yeah, you didn't read that news thing about that guy who drove that car through all those people. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, God, you know.
That's the thing about comedy is, like, sometimes, like, the way I deal with shit, I was saying when I came in, I had to put my dog down last night. It was fucking horrific. And in the back of my head, I'm just like, how am I going to make this funny?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
like, that's
sure,
just how my mind thinks.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's how I get through shit, is I make it funny.
Yeah.
But just because I'm over it and, like, am okay with it and I'm making jokes about it doesn't mean that someone in the crowd hasn't had that happen to them recently or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just the crowd might not be ready for it. There could have been a shooting that happened that day, and you're like, I'm up here telling my red hot shooting jokes.
Yeah.
Why isn't it working? Yeah. Ah, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Because we're just a different breed. It's just, different way of thinking.
It's selfish, it's psychopathic, it's.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not even up there with that level of psychopath where they give everything for it. I was at one stage, though, I remember. I remember my ex-girlfriend bought me tickets to a musical once, and I'm like, I'll get there 20 minutes late. I'm going to do an open mic.
Yeah.
So like, you're not even getting paid, and I'm like, I know, but I never get on at this one.
Yeah.
I got it. And looking back at it, I'm like, that is fucking awful.
Yeah.
And same girlfriend came and visited me from Amsterdam once.
Mm.
You know, we weren't together, but she's like, hey, let's hang out. And I was like, I'll be there 20 minutes late. I'm going to a gig.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's fucking... It's crazy.
That's what you've got to put in there to get good.
Yeah.
Like, especially at the start, you're just looking for anything. You're like, anywhere I can get on stage, try shit out.
Yeah.
Because, barely any of it's working when you first start. You're just like, this is bad.
Yeah, you don't get laughs. Like, there's exceptions to every rule, but I'm like, you don't really get real laughs for the first 2 years you're doing comedy.
No, it's like,
It's like, I remember the very first time I wrote a bit that worked and hearing the pop from the crowd.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I've been chasing. But it took me so fucking long to get there.
Oh, man.
So you've just got to go to every single gig. You've got to go to every single gig. You've got to write and write and write.
And, man, it's really bad. And you may have got to this already. You know, everyone's different. But I found probably 7 to 8 years later you get a real big pop again.
Mm.
And in a way, it kind of ruins it because you're just chasing that one.
Yeah.
So when you don't get that one, people are like, oh, that was... Yeah. There are some times when people just want to make you feel good, even though you did bad.
Yeah.
That was good. But then there's other times when people are like, nah, man, that was still really good. And you're like, nah, it's not what I wanted.
The classic...
Last night, I had an okay set.
Yeah.
It was like I definitely didn't bomb or anything like that. It was a great set. Laughs all the way through. None of my jokes fell flat. Did new material. It was great. And I was like, yeah, man, this is a good crowd. And then you got on and it was like you unlocked a different fucking part of laughter from the crowd that we just weren't hearing before. And it's not trying to suck your dick or anything, but I was like, man, like, it's a couple of, like, the bigger comedians, especially guys out of Melbourne that I've seen, yous are just able to open up different parts of the crowd and like, get these crazy pops. I remember Portelli.
Yeah.
He saw me on a Friday night here. I had a really good set. He's like, hey, man, you want to come open for me? And it was the first time anyone had asked me to open, so I was, like, super fucking chuffed. Like, just, this is incredible. I'm going to be famous one day or
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then and we had this crazy weekend. We did this gig in Sydney. It fucking went sick. We did, like, the club here. It was awesome. Like, it was just the perfect weekend of comedy.
Yeah.
And then opened for Portelli on a Friday. There was 15 people there, and I just ate shit. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I was like, I got off and I was like, oh, whatever. Like, it was only 15 people. And then Portelli got up there and killed. Just fucking, like, just brought it. And, was, they were, like, it was awesome. And I was like, all right, there's levels. There's fucking levels, man. Like,
there is a level. And I'm not saying this because I know the set went good last night. I know I went good. However, it wasn't to my...
Exactly.
It wasn't to the standard that I had here last time.
Yeah.
And that one thing is I probably came in a bit complacent. You know, I did come in complacent.
Yeah, less fear, because it went so well last time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
this will be all right.
Yeah. And I could tell Ivan was the same. Like, he killed. But I could tell it wasn't like... And Ivan...
He took a couple of minutes to get rolling, I noticed. I think because of the accent as well, because he speaks really quickly. So it takes a moment for your ears to calibrate. When you, especially coming like off the back of you, you've got like the Aussie sort of accent.
Yeah.
And then he's like really, really fast. So I think the crowd had to kind of like recalibrate. And then after like the second joke, he just was like, the whole place was on fire.
Man, yeah.
It was crazy.
And it was funny to me.
Yeah.
Because I see him like decimate.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, So I'm like, they're going, oh, yeah, fuck, he's, I knew he'd go well, you know, but I'm like, he wouldn't be happy with this.
Yeah.
He would not be happy with this.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so it's...
Yeah.
It's really cool seeing, but it is a curse as well because you... I see a lot of people in... it's probably not so much common here because you don't have so many open mic nights, but I remember just hanging out after the show and meeting up with people, talking, having a few drinks or whatever... And I see guys like in Melbourne doing that, you know, and it looks so much fun, you know, but I just want to get home.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 14 years, you know what I mean? It's like, I'd love to just go there and just have fun and just not be about, I got to do this bit or whatever. You're just like, I get to hang out afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's way better than when I had jobs and I didn't know what to do with myself in comedy. I remember coming home and going, there's got to be something more to life.
Yeah.
Just coming home.
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. The best nights you'll have in your life is those, like, after gig hangs.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, everyone just, especially if it's been a good night, everyone's popping. So, it, like, you're in the circle and you're just fucking, everyone's just howling with laughter.
It's hard for you to settle down, eh?
Yeah. I get home from gigs sometimes and I'm like, I can't. Can't go to sleep now. Like, I've got to write. Like, I have to sit down and write.
Oh, sick, man.
Yeah.
I got to do that. I try to, like, go to sleep, but I'm like, okay, the only way I can do this is have a weed gummy.
Yeah.
And then that knocks me down.
Yeah. I get the opposite. If I smoke weed, my brain will start fucking rushing. I'll wake up with a whole, like, last night, I'll wake up and I'll check my phone. I'm like, oh, I've written, like, three new fucking just... shitty bits.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, like, I come up with my best premises when I'm high because you get that parallel thinking or the perpendicular thinking, I call it,
where you're
just like, you wouldn't have thought that fucking of that way to take a joke. And it's like, then you come back to it sober and you're like, oh, that punchline was fucking awful. But the line, there's something to work with.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You think it's hilarious when you're stoned too. You're like, this is going to be great.
This is going to kill.
You wake up sober and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard, man. Yeah. It's the worst thing you could ever do. If anyone's listening to this and they don't do comedy, fucking hell, don't do it. It's so awful. We talk about all good times, but God, there's some bad times. There's so many bad times, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm fucking concerned about the show tonight. I'm on tonight. And I'm just like, fuck, this could go fucking sideways. Like, am I going to just start thinking about my dog up there and just have a fucking mental breakdown? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
I'm like bawling my eyes out in the shower this morning. I'm like, this is fucked. Like,
yeah.
The coolest thing about Newcastle is, like, they're like, these people are just going to see entertainment.
Yeah.
Before they get tanked or something like
that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome because they're seeing it. Like, I guess if people in Melbourne see a show or whatever, they're like, okay, I want this to, like, I want it to start good or I want it to end good.
Mm.
You know, here it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We saw it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Sick.
Yeah. It was better than seeing watching the footy or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool, you know?
Yeah.
The crowds are so down for it. We're so lucky, man. But it is a bit of a bubble. Like,
Because
we don't have the open mics, we don't have anything else. We've got the Tuesday here, which is like packed. People want to do well. So it's like, fuck, where do you try out the risky shit and the stuff that you don't know works? But it's just writing, like sitting down and fucking writing stuff out. Most of the times, if you sit down, you're like, yeah, that's funny. Like, I believe in it. I'm going to deliver it like I believe in it. It's 9 times out of 10, it's going to go pretty well.
Yeah.
Only sometimes it's just like, oh, fuck, that was way off.
Yeah.
I've misread this.
Yeah.
Big time.
Traveling and like kind of making it into a holiday is when I first started out. That was a cool thing to me.
Yeah.
So even if you do 2 shitty open mics or whatever, you go with your partner or you go by yourself, visit a few mates, and then you just have a good time.
Yeah, that's what I did in the UK.
Meet more people and you do learn a lot more.
Mm.
You know, I found that there is like. Yeah, there are fours and against the bubble.
Yeah.
You know, like people can come out really good.
Yeah.
And there are anomalies. You know, there's like certain times in Brisbane where all the comics that came out of Brisbane, and I think that's happening again now.
Yeah.
They were all good
from
a certain pocket of time. And
right.
Certain pocket of Sydney was good. And then at one point there was a Perth faction that came out of Perth that were real good, a bunch of guys, you know.
Yeah, nice.
So, there is things, but I think it's important to go. You see the best people there. They're out.
Yeah.
You know, getting a bit of a dose of everything. But
it's just having that different type of style too. Like, that's what I love about your comedy is it's not what everyone else is doing. Like, it's a bit different. I'll just bring it back to, like, my taste in music is like all the other weird shit too, and I think it's similar to yours because I've done my fucking research. Like Primus and fucking Ween and Mr. Bungle and all those sort of bands are like, that's what I like. That's like my taste in comedy as well, is like all the different weird shit.
Mm.
It's like, it's just what I like, and it's not for everyone.
No.
I think if you just stay in one spot and you just play into one sort of crowd, then you just like, you get in that groove, but you need to be able to like go out and experience the world a bit more and be like, all right, there's some different shit out there that I'm going to fucking use to, like, do my set. Trying to get that in there.
Yeah, man.
It's fucking hard.
Years ago, and he reminds me of this, that I said it to him, and I'm like, oh, wow, that is something pretty cool, but I took it from someone else. I think Sam Campbell said, he said that I said this to him once, that it, like, you got to start out crazy.
Yeah.
And you can only go back. You can only go forwards from there.
Yeah.
You've always got to start out the craziest you can.
Yeah.
Because you look at all the good bands or whatever, they all started out fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Ween.
Yeah.
They would snort fucking glue. And there were no bad ideas.
Yeah.
They were like, there's no bad ideas. Yeah. We just have to work on any idea we come up with and work it to the best we can.
Yeah.
Two, making some great, almost pop hits.
Yeah.
You know, like Voodoo Lady and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then you've got bands that I don't like that started out crazy, like, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers that were all instrumental and fucking nuts. And, and then they just slowly got, Faith No More started out quite crazy.
Yep.
You know, and wild stuff, like, you know, having a gay guy in an alternative band, fucking sick, you know?
Yeah.
And then slowly getting a bit more like poppy and digestible for most people.
Yeah.
But still having that edge of crazy.
Yeah.
That's it. The one of the best things I heard about Mr. Bungle was that it's like anal sex. Like, it's rough to begin with, but the more you do it, the more you enjoy it.
Yeah. It's true, though. Yeah.
It's like, so true.
Man, yeah, that's true. When, it's the same for every band, you know.
Yeah, yeah, when people first hear it, they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, once I'm like, yeah, when I first listened to Angel Dust by Faith No More, I was like, this is fucking awful.
Yeah.
This is crazy. And then you realise, oh, my God, that... You know, but Mike Patton tells himself, is like, I would have shot myself in the face years ago if I knew I created new metal. most influential.
Yeah.
And then the risk. And then to put like, so back then you bought a single or you'd buy a whole CD if you liked the song. So they had Easy, Commodore's cover.
Yeah.
And the label persuaded them to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you've got to have one single from this album.
Yeah.
Besides Midlife Crisis. And that's hardly a single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay. So imagine you see Easy, you hear it, you hear how beautiful Mike Patton's voice is.
Oh, I'm going to go see and then you're Faith like, No More in concert.
Yeah, I'm going to go see Faith. Or I'm going to buy the whole Angel Dust CD.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's insane, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I'd love to tell you that I'm different and I'm crazy, but I also have my own real insecurities where I'm not crazy enough.
Yeah.
And other times I have, I'm not normal enough, you know?
Yeah.
Probably the only plus now is I used to only respect stuff that was different.
Yeah.
Like, Harmony Korine, they had an interview with him and he's like, why would you do something that everyone else is doing?
Yeah.
And there is a part of me now, but now I do... Now I love the basic acts or the people that are sticking to the script more than ever.
Yeah.
If they're doing it well.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, and I love people where they know their own path. Like, I used to bag out cruise ship comics and have no respect. But now I have full respect.
Because you understand what goes into, like, cruise ship comedy is so different. I've spoken to a couple of guys. And to be able to do a cruise ship, you've got to have, like, 2 hours on the go and it's got to be easily digestible at the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
And you can't take any risks and you've got to do it all relatable, materialable. And, like, it's like there's so much work that goes into it and it's like you look at them and you're like, oh, you're just doing fucking easy hack jokes or whatever. I've heard that type of joke 100 times. You're like, nah, dude, like... They fucking get on those ships and they work. Like, they work the crowds.
Yeah, it's like emceeing. Like, even if it's terrible, you got to pretend that it's going well.
Man, yeah.
You gotta be like, this is all great.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
This
man,
is so good.
Yeah.
We're having the best time. Professionalism. Like, and not be sick of it.
Yep.
Like, doing it on a cruise ship, like, week in, week out, the same routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Alternating.
It's like, it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's fucking really difficult.
Yeah.
You can bag out cruise ship comics all you want, but there's no way.
Oh,
it's like, you know, people will, you know, like there's comics that I hang out with and stuff, and, you know, they're like, oh, what about Chris Rock's new special? No good or whatever.
Mm.
And you're like, yeah, maybe you didn't think it was, but it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
And you got to think how hard it would be for him.
Dude.
To come up with new material. He's in a bubble that is so unique to ours.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, basically, to get any new ideas, he needs to put himself in a level of crisis. Like, Will Smith, one of the biggest celebrities in the world, punching him in the face is probably the biggest crisis he's been through in a while.
Yeah.
Whereas your dog died, you know, not that he doesn't have dead relatives or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but like... Yeah, it's like I was watching a documentary last night on the Queens of the Stone Age album, Like Clockwork.
Yeah.
And they called it Like Clockwork because every time they get a roll on, something really fucked would happen.
Mm.
And then they hadn't had a good album. Era Vulgaris wasn't that good, and the one before wasn't as good as Songs
of Death.
Yeah.
And then Josh Homme... he was working too hard. He got this fucking this staph infection where he nearly died on the operating table.
Holy fuck.
And then they fired the fucking drummer that they had all these years.
Mm.
And then there was just so much bad stuff that happened during this. But that made a killer album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like their best album in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it was like such... terrible times that took them out of their bubble, out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that made it really good.
Yeah.
But Chris Rock, I don't think a lot of the big comics on Netflix, they might not have that. you know, like...
Yeah, they don't have the kind of, like, yeah, hard times, like, really brings out creativity in you because you've got to be like, all right, this is a fucked up situation. It's like sink or swim.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got to make this work. Whereas if you've got, like, a level of fame or, like, an amount of money where you're like... I don't need to take those risks or
being comfortable.
Yeah, being comfortable. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what like that ice bath bit that I'm doing is like, yeah, these rich people are doing these ice baths to like make their day harder. It's like my day's already fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like, I've got shit going on.
Yeah.
Man, exactly. Yeah.
It's crazy. No, I still do them, but I'm like, it's just fucking wild.
Yeah.
Well, I think
fabricating like trauma.
Man, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it weird? Like, I don't know how you guys grew up, but my parents, they had a caravan and they used to wash me in the sink.
Yeah.
My dad would work 12 hours a day. My mum would just look after me in a caravan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what else do you do with your life? They had no time for fucking ice baths.
No.
They had no time for self-help podcasts or anything like that.
Yeah.
They'd have a fucking Nescafe coffee.
Yeah.
You know, maybe have a cappuccino on holiday. My dad would have a cappuccino on holiday.
Yeah. That was his treat. Yeah. Like, he's telling the boys at work, oi, getting a cappuccino next week.
That's it.
And then dealing with the homophobia when he gets back.
Yeah. Like, someone calls him an F slur. I'm trying to write that bit.
That's the trauma.
Man, that's so funny, man. That's like, so...
But even on your way up here, like your moto broke down outside of Goulburn.
Yeah.
That's just shit that you got to deal with. It's just like, fuck.
Man, I could make it comfortable. I could get it, you know, earphones in my helmet and stuff, but I'm and it's cold, it's freezing on the motorbike, and it's terrible. But I'm like, no, this is good. Like, this is a good fucking exercise in just having some time to think to myself and not be looking at the phone and, you know, just be doing it.
It's
great. You know, it's insane, but...
Yeah. That was crazy when you broke down outside of Goulburn because, like, last year I was coming back from the snow and I broke my tailbone snowboarding.
Oh.
And I stopped in to see a friend who was like, yeah, come out and have some drinks on your way through. And then one thing leads to another... She takes me out to her farm, like her property out in Goulburn, and then she just like kidnapped me and shagged me for 4 days. She wouldn't let me leave. She has like this kilometer long driveway, and like it was all like it was middle of winter, so it was like raining, heavy rain, like the driveway is completely washed out, like you can't get a car up there. So I parked my van down at the bottom of the driveway. I was just like, when are you going to take me home? She's like, nah, you're staying for a bit. I'm like, okay. And now we've been together ever since. It worked out. But that bad thing happened and now the good thing happened.
Yeah, but if you had kidnapped her, everyone's up in arms about it.
For sure. You did what?
Yeah.
Took her out to your
you
farm.
Can't leave.
Yeah, that's funny as hell, man. I do think it's fucking such a hard thing. So now I don't criticize anybody.
Yeah.
And now I have, like, especially after having cancer and all that, and getting older, you just make peace with everything.
Yeah.
Like, there are old hacks I used to bag out, like that guy doing the same. But they've even made peace with it. They're like, I'm not a groundbreaking comic.
Yeah.
And then now we're friends. Now, you know, like, now we're like...
Yeah,
I respect them more than ever.
It's less ego about the whole thing. It's
less ego.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
You know, it's really cool, man. Yeah. And there's other cool shit I see. Like I saw a comic that used to do stadiums.
Mm.
Probably not stadiums, but big theatres.
Yeah.
I saw them doing a small venue in Melbourne. And there could be critical me going,
he's washed up.
He's washed up. Yeah. That sucks. I'm like, nah, man, that rules.
Yeah,
he's still going out and doing it. He's put his pride behind him.
Mm. Yeah,
like I used to do big rooms. I'm doing this now.
Yeah,
still doing it.
Yeah,
it's sick.
And they're doing it because they love it as well.
Yeah,
like because if you've got to step back, if you feel like you've gone backwards in your career, some people are like, oh, fuck it, I just won't do it.
Yeah,
I just won't do it. Yeah.
And you never know what's around the corner either. Like none of us do.
Yeah,
and that person that you shit on at an open mic. Like a year ago, could all of a sudden be fucking up here, and you're like, "Oh fuck, what happened there?" Like, people just—they have different swings and roundabouts. Like, you can just someone can just get on a good run.
Yeah.
Person that could be doing like stadiums, they're doing smaller gigs again, they could be back up there after. It just happens like that.
Man, it's so awesome watching, like, because I guess Dave O'Neill's like my comedy dad. And you couldn't think of two more different comics than me and Dave O'Neill.
Yeah.
And I remember getting, I always tease him about this or whatever, but I remember getting to Melbourne and, I'd seen him on Spicks and Specs every now and then, but I saw a poster of him and he was like climbing out of a manhole. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, that guy's washed up. He's probably got a second job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Washed up. However, little do I know that he's making more money than most comics.
Yeah.
Because he just drives everywhere.
Yeah.
And does those football club gigs. And you've never seen a comic go better in any situation.
Yeah.
Any situation. And he does stuff like selfless stuff. Like he'll go, oh, guys, look, I'm not down to MC tonight, but Kappa, you're not going to... You're not going to get these guys straight away. You're like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do it. And he'll do 20 up front to get him going.
Yeah.
And he just bounds along, smiles, fucking does it. And then he runs his own night every Wednesday. And I've watched him, like, a lot of comics in his kind of realm, you watch him kind of either stop or kind of get a bit stagnant or whatever they change. But I've just watched him get, like, better.
Mm.
Like, better and better. And you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and then same with Kitty Flanagan. I had the pleasure of finally doing a gig with her this year. And just watching someone, like, fully at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, way better than... Like, it was insane. Like, watching someone, you know, been doing it for so long. And you're like, wow, this is so unique to see someone getting just better and more creative at it.
Yeah.
Than they are, you know.
It makes you want to work harder. Oh, man. You see that and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, apparently she just carries like a fucking noteboard around and goes to like Canberra for 2 weeks. Just a noteboard full of jokes.
Yeah.
Just does them in small rooms for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
She used to do Rove, didn't she? She used to do the, I think, Kitty Flanagan. Did she used to do...
She did the sketch show. She might have been on Rove a few times. I can't remember. She's been on the weekly lately.
Yeah.
She's got that great show, Fisk.
Yeah.
The loyal one.
Yeah. I don't watch fucking terrestrial TV. Like, no, I can't. No, like, it's the fucking ads, man.
Yeah, it's the ads. Yeah. Well, it's ABC, but still.
Yeah.
You know.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still. Man, it's ABC. Tell you what I've discovered lately, YouTube Watch Later.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, oh, I don't have the time to watch this now.
Yeah.
And that's where I watched the Queens of the Stone Age documentary.
Yeah.
Nice.
I just went through them last night in my motel room. All right, we'll watch later. So I got
sick.
I got this.
Yeah.
That rules. Oh, sick, guys. Cool. Yeah.
Well, usually at the end, we run through like any ideas, anything that you're fucking working on.
Yeah.
Anything that's bouncing around your head. Doesn't even have to be a bit, just a fucking idea.
Yeah.
Just anything. Throw it at the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about my dead dog. Comedy is tragedy plus time.
What do you have about your dead dog?
I did have a bit that I did a while ago that was, and I was thinking about doing it tonight, in her honour, I took my dog to the vet and she had to get like her anal glands expressed. Yeah. So like the vet fingered my dog.
Yeah.
And then they gave us like some dog Valium, which I was like, I wrote this joke like 3 years ago and I was like, had a few of those. Didn't really work on me. I guess that's why I say not fit for human consumption on the packet.
Yeah.
But then they gave us the anal numbing cream, which is great because me and my partner have been doing a bit of anal this week and my ass has been sore all week. The worst fucking joke that I wrote ages ago and I'm terrified of doing it because I just know it's not. It's just foul, like that edgy comedy that you're trying to do when you first start. It just doesn't have all the nuts and bolts there. It's just a stupid misdirect at the end. It's like, oh, I'm actually the one that's getting penetrated. Ha ha ha. It's so dumb, man.
And a year and a half into comedy, you're like, genius.
Could you do it so it turns out, I mean, it's still the same thing, misdirection.
But
it turns out that you're... The anal numbing cream, yeah, my partner and I have been using it, and, yeah, it's not so easy on the dog.
That's how she died.
Those poodles, they're fragile, man.
We even got my partner a little doggy strap on. It's a little pink one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little pink dick.
Yeah. It only comes out when you sit up.
She humps my leg and then it comes out. You
know? It's good.
Yeah, I just put a cushion in front of it.
You let it go. She tires out after a couple of minutes.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I don't know about dog Valium. I don't know. I mean, I know it's a stupid jump to make, but I mean, like, you take the dog Valium, you know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, it knocks you out, but you do wake up. Like scratching. Yeah.
Running in your sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, that's dumb. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm trying to write a bit about, like, we grew up early thousands, like late 90s, and like homophobia. It was like everyone grew up homophobic.
Yeah.
Like, I never like hated gay people or anything like that. I was always like, like super defensive of them, like high school and stuff like that. I had a couple of gay friends who I like stuck up for and stuff like that, but I was afraid of being gay. Like so the new bit I'm writing, like I just say to everyone, I grew up a homophobe, and immediately the crowd's like, oh, you're a fucking piece of shit. And then like I preface it like, no, like I was just afraid to be gay. And then, like, I give them examples of, like, retarded shit they used to think. It's like, oh, yeah, like, you couldn't compliment a dude. Like, you couldn't say to a dude, like, oh, hey, nice shirt, because all of a sudden a magic dick would fall into your mouth and, like, just, like, mentioning, like, tradies can't, like, drink anything but flat whites.
Because
otherwise, like, the boys just call them a faggot or whatever and just fucking just, like, all of that stuff. So then talking about, like, oh, yeah, I turned 18. First thing I was like, yeah, doing gay stuff is sick. Yeah. And like going into like the first time I went to a gay club and a dude asked to use me as a tube sock and like how nice everyone was. Like I tripped over on the dance floor, like 12 dudes helped me up. Yeah. I was like, fucking gentleman here, man.
Yeah,
just like trying to write that out. And yeah, I've been like, I enjoy giving a fucked up topic, like taking a fucked up topic and just like, people can't help but laugh. Like I've got a joke about dude who I got into a weight loss competition with.
Yeah.
I lost like 20 kilos and the other dude beat me. Yeah. And everyone's like, how the fuck did this guy win this weight loss competition? And the poor cunt had cancer.
Oh,
that's the joke. And everyone's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, fucking cunt cheated. Like, because he would have never lost that weight otherwise.
Yeah.
And, like, just turning that around, everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're laughing at a fucked up situation or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, jokes about, but we've got this joke coming up, this gig coming up in Belmont. All my family lives around there.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I've got grandparents who died from strokes, and it's like, my clothes a bit is a joke about people having strokes. And, my dad died of cancer, and I've got jokes about cancer, and like all these fucked up things.
That's gonna be a rough
gig. I have no idea, like, if my family hears about this stuff, dude. Like,
I mean, I don't want to be like, this is a bit rough, but like, because your dad, you say this thing, oh, the dude beat me in the weight loss competition, and you know, my dad, he died of cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took it too far.
I want to use that. That's great.
He was always very competitive.
Yeah, always took the joke too far.
He's like, oh, beat me on the deathbed.
Yeah.
Just when I get stronger than him.
Yeah.
I'm stronger. Fuck, he did win. But I thought it was funny, man. Like, I don't know if you're in the same situation as me, right?
Mm.
I've been cracked onto once or twice in a gay bar, but never really.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot. And because they know.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
That I'm straight.
Yeah.
You know, they just know.
I used to look like a twink back in the day. I'll show you photos.
Yeah. But it's so funny, man, because the way you look now.
Oh, no, I'm not a twink anymore.
But you're still not. You still couldn't be like. a boss boy.
No. I couldn't be a bear. I couldn't be a bear, yeah.
Yeah, no. Or a twink.
Yeah.
But now they're just like, look, man, we don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you do our accounts?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm purely glory holes nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Their gaydar is just a compass that's like spinning in circles. Like, what? I don't know where I am at with you.
I define your look, man, as like... married tax accountant.
Yeah, dude.
Really in the closet.
Yeah. My wife fingered me once. I didn't like the thoughts it gave me. So we put those.
Sneaks out sometimes for a bit of action with the security tag still on the old belt.
I was thinking about this because I was going to tell some stories about my dog tonight, and one of the ones was, I don't know if I'll tell it, but like when we all had a party at my parents' house, like they'd gone away, we were younger, and woke up and the dog's like out on the back balcony just like staring off into the yard, and I'm like, what's going on here? And I like walk out and his wife is like burying her undies in my backyard.
She shit herself
she
in the
herself
night
was in the night before drinking. And she's burying them.
She couldn't find the bin. Yeah. She's like, I can't like just have these shitty undies just like hanging around. So she's like, she was trying to hide them. Then just walked out. What you doing? She was like, oh fuck.
Busted.
That's so awesome. That is great.
Yeah.
But the dog's watching. Like, the dog's gonna dig them up. Like, that's the first thing the dog's gonna do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, I feel like you could loop it into your joke about how you were saying that your wife always shits herself.
Yeah,
like she's lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Like, you should use that story.
Yeah.
It's so funny, man.
Oh, dude.
Just being busted burying your undies. Like, that's insane.
Oh, dude. Every now and then she'll do something so fucking insane. You're like, you're a normal person 99% of the time. And then all of a sudden something will happen. You're like, what the fuck? Like,
man,
that's a Tara, you know.
Yeah, that's not a bad tag as well. You're like, you know.
Yeah,
the guy lost so much weight. You know, I lost so much weight. My wife nearly shit herself. not because of the surprise. She had an up and go. Oh man, No, the only bit I thought about is like what you guys are talking about as well comfortable conflict. Like, hey, I don't want to fucking. I don't want to work too much or put myself under stress. However, I will do a cold bath or... I don't know, if you... Because, like, I do go bouldering or whatever, but if I show my granddad, hey, this is what I do, he's like, why do you do this? He's like, don't just climb up some rocks or walking to school.
Yeah.
Is this.
Yeah.
You know, or... If you showed someone in another country, like, this is, like, or if you showed people from 5,000 years ago or something, they're like, this is how I get my food.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this in my leisure time.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's...
It's crazy. A weird way that, this isn't funny, but just the way that the next generation's being brought up is, like, that hardship's, like, baked into stuff where they'll, like, watch a video. And I was watching, my brother's got, like, two young kids, and they'll watch a video and it's like a Family Guy clip, but there's like a video above it of like someone playing like a mobile game, and they're not even playing it. It's like, so you got to pay attention to like two things at once, like and it's easy but it's like hard at the same time. Like, it's easy to just sit there and watch it, but like it's like the mental game now. It's like it's less like physical hardship and more like mental hardship. Like,
man,
everyone's going through like way more mental hardship.
Like, I hate those rooms that are like they're probably good for people, but I don't like them. It's like the smash rooms and the axe one, like throwing an axe
in
the wood or smashing where you get to smash everything.
Yeah, yeah. There's one here. There's one around here.
I don't know.
It's dumb.
I don't know. If you got to do that.
Yeah.
I kind of understand an escape room to someone, because like a puzzle.
Yeah.
You like puzzles, great.
Yeah.
Even puzzles to a point is like kind of like life should be the real puzzle.
Yeah.
You should have enough. You should be progressing in your life. You're like, I'm tired of puzzles.
Yeah.
I've been going all day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people who seek out stress are people who haven't got enough real stress in their life.
Yeah. It's like you pay for it.
Mm.
Whereas you could just volunteer at like a shelter or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe look after a kid for a couple of hours a day that doesn't have a great home or something.
Mm.
You're like, that's enough. You won't want to go to escape room after this.
No.
You know what I mean? I used to look after these kids on this farm. And I was, like, worn out.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, they have presented so many challenges throughout this 4 hours. Never deem. possible.
Yeah. And when you grow up, like, you grew up, like, sort of low, like, poor family or whatever.
Yeah.
I did too. Like, homeless at points in my life. Like,
really?
Yeah, like really fucked up shit.
I know, man. Look, my mum and dad had it bad. My dad got a real good job later on, and I was kind of upper middle class from then on.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah. So I don't know what it's like. Homeless in some parts of your life.
Homeless, sleeping in cars. Like,
really?
Yeah, not like.
For how long?
Yeah. Good few years. Like, my.
You would sleep in a car every day.
Yeah. So we moved away from the Central Coast because, like, we were having issues there.
Yeah.
And we were like the neighbors from hell. Like, I was having issues at school. Because I was like, I saw some really fucking violent things happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like acting out at school because I was I was seeing fucked up shit happen on the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, see my brother like bash someone or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like 8 years old. So I'm like, fuck, that's the thing to do. So I go to school and bash some poor kid and. Everyone's like, what the fuck, dude? I'm like, no, this is what we do.
Yeah. Manufacturing hardship. It's like, when I was young, we were sleeping in cars. Now people call it van life.
Yeah.
And they're like,
it's exactly.
Like, it's a luxury. It's fucking weird.
It's a sure.
But it gives you like a different perspective on life. And having cancer as well, like twice, you know, it gives you that perspective that makes you appreciate things more, man. I met a lady yesterday, like terminal. She was like, I caught that. She will laugh and she goes, oh, I've got cancer. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, I had to catch the only one that like was incurable.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. And
was
then
it
I just
cervical?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Yeah.
But I just cracked a joke. Like right then, I was like, fuck. And then I just made not at her cancer or anything. I just made a joke. And then, like, she was laughing the entire time. She was like super chill. And I was like, this lady's dying. Like, she's looking down the barrel. She's dying. And she was like the best customer I've ever had to deal with. And people who like who have to deal with that hardship are like usually nicer people.
Man, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's like, you know, the guys at the gym and stuff at the MMA gyms, they can kill everybody.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they've been killed.
Heaps of times.
Choked out or whatever.
Yeah.
So you just see them and they're the chillest, coolest guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because they're grounded, they've been centered.
Yeah.
There's like no, you know.
Yeah, there's a little bit of brain damage from being choked out a lot. Like their words don't work so well anymore.
I find that with people that do a lot of drugs too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of them that get through it and come out the other end. And I've done the same. Like I did way too much acid. And came out of it very, like, I want to sound like a wanker, but, like, just like, oh, I'm a piece of shit. Like, I'm not as great as I thought I was.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
But it wears off, but I'm terrified to, like, do drugs again. I won't do it now. Like, there's been some doors unlocked up in there that cannot be shut. fuck.
Yeah, I'm getting that way too. I'm like, ooh. Things are...
Yeah, man, I get over drinking. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I can't remember stuff.
I've
got to take some time out.
The dark thoughts
get
come.
Get some clarity. Also, I think a big thing is social media.
Mm.
I think the more people scroll on it and stuff, I think you're just seeing the happy life. You're not seeing any downsides.
Yeah.
There's too much information you know about people. There's no mystique.
Yeah.
Yeah, you catch up for things and you're like, I know exactly what's going on. What the fuck are we going to talk about?
I'm just trying to get off that. It's a big deal.
And it's fucked because we need it as well. Yeah. Like, as a comedian,
it's
where you advertise, it's where you do all your work. Like, it's like,
but you can get in and out too. Like, that's what we're doing with like the TikTok and Instagram and stuff. Like, I'll post clips from this and like clips from stand up and stuff, but I just put it up there and then just leave it. Just fucking ignore it. Like, I don't want to know about it.
Oh, for sure, man.
Just chuck it up there and it's done.
I think I'm going to delete the app daily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just put it on later on.
Yeah.
I think it's like, no, it's no good for me.
Yeah.
The reels, man.
Yeah, if you don't have the discipline to not look at it, just get rid of it.
Yeah. You can accidentally a whole day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's good, guys.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this show up.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on, dude.
No, thanks for coming on, man. Like, this is a fucking... Yeah, this has been really cool, man. So,
no worries.
Have you got any shows coming up?
It's got to be got a bit in depth. I'm sorry.
No, that's what we do.
I'll be funnier next time.
No, that's what we do.
We come in and have some beers. You know,
we've done those episodes too. Don't worry.
Yeah, they're probably no good.
No, they're great. Except the pussy Bradley Bishop from the Sunday Service edited half of it out because we were just saying wild shit. He's like, I can't have this going out.
No, it was barely.
I said to you last night when I was like, "Thanks for coming on." I was like, "Oh yeah, don't worry. You can say what you want. We're trying to get cancelled." And you had this look on your face like, "Oh fuck." What have I agreed to? So you got any dates coming up in the next few weeks you want to plug?
I'm finished kind of now. In Melbourne I'm going to film this show. So for the two listeners from Melbourne. That'll be done soon. And yeah, listen to the Phone Hacks podcast and Flat Stick.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen to those. Yeah.
Very good. Listen to them all the time. They're great, man.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Yeah. It's so good.
All right. Thanks again for coming on, man. All right. See you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.